Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tefillah, perek Yud Bet. In this perek, the Rambam discusses the halachot of Kriyat HaTorah. The focus here is on the details of how Kriyat HaTorah is done in general, while the specifics of what part of the Torah is read on what days of the year will be the topic of the next perek. The Rambam begins with the source of the obligation of the tzibur to read the Torah at all. Halacha Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu tikein sheyu korin baTorah barabim b'Shabbat uv'Sheni uv'Chamishi b'Shacharit kidei shelo yishu shlosha yamim b'lo shmiat Torah. Ve'Ezra Sofer tikein sheyu korin kein b'mincha b'chol Shabbat mishum yoshvei kranot. Ve'gam hu tikein sheyu hakorin b'Sheni uv'Chamishi shlosha b'nei Adam v'lo yikru pachot me'asara psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu established that Kriyat HaTorah be performed with a tzibur. We saw earlier in Perek Chet that Kriyat HaTorah appears on the list of Dvarim Shebikdusha, practices which can only be done with a minyan of 10 Jewish adult males, and that this be done on the morning of every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbat, so that we do not go 3 days without hearing Torah. The source of this takana, according to the Gemara in Bava Kamma, is the story in Parshat Beshalach about the incident at Marah. The psukim there record that after traveling for 3 days in the desert without water, Bnei Israel began to complain of thirst. This is understood by Chazal metaphorically. Mayim, water, actually refers to Torah. And the thirst which led the Jewish people to complain against God was not physical but spiritual, resulting from 3 days without Torah. Notice the language of the Rambam in the phrase, below Shmi'at Torah. The takana was not to learn Torah every 3 days, but to hear it. Rav Salvechik explains that the point of Kriyat HaTorah isn't to learn or comprehend the Torah being read, but rather to experience hearing Torah in a communal setting in order to reenact the divine encounter at Har Sinai and the sense of awe which accompanied it. We'll see later where this understanding of Kriyat HaTorah may have practical ramifications. About a millennium after Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra extended his takana of Kriyat HaTorah to reading at Mincha of Shabbat for the benefit of the Yoshvei Kranot. There are two understandings of this phrase. Rashi understands Kranot to refer to shops or places of commerce. The Yoshvei Kranot, the storekeepers, were too busy with their business to hear Kriyat HaTorah on Monday and Thursday. So Ezra established an extra occasion on Shabbat afternoon for them to hear Kriyat HaTorah. Other Rishonim understand this phrase to refer to idlers who have no work and waste most of their time on frivolous pursuits in various corners, kranot, of the city. Ezra added Kriyat HaTorah at Mincha to encourage them to engage with Torah on Shabbat afternoons. Ezra also established some details of how Kriyat HaTorah is done even on Mondays and Thursdays. There should be 3 olim, and together they must read at least 10 psukim. Note that the Rambam refers to the Olim as Korim, the ones who read from the Torah, as the original takana of Kriyat HaTorah was for each Ole to read from the Torah himself. The institution of the Baal Kore, who reads the Torah so that each Ole only recites out loud the opening and closing brachot, developed at the time of the Rishonim, when most people were no longer able to read from the Torah without preparation. The original system of Kriyat HaTorah is still practiced today among Temanim, communities of Yemenite origin, where children are taught from a young age to memorize the text of the Torah, so they can read it without nekudot, and with a proper ta'amim, trup, and many of them retain this knowledge throughout life. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam adds some more details about how the reading is done. Each Ole reads at least 3 psukim, though one of them must read at least 4, so that altogether 10 psukim are read, and this can be any of the 3. In order to prevent someone leaving the shul from mistakenly thinking that the next aliyah will be less than 3 psukim, an aliyah cannot end less than 3 psukim before the end of a paragraph, a parsha. Similarly, in order to prevent someone coming late from having the impression that the last aliyah was less than 3 psukim, an aliyah cannot end fewer than 3 psukim after the beginning of a parasha. Each ole must begin with barchu and say a bracha both before and after his aliyah, which the Rambam details in Halacha Hei. Kol echad v'echad min ha-korin poteach sefer Torah u'mabit b'makom shu korebo v'achar kach omer baruchu et Hashem ha-mvorach v'chol ha-amonin baruch Hashem ha-mvorach v'omved v'chozer u'mvarech baruch et Hashem ha-lokenu melech ha-olam asher b'charbanu mikol ha-mim v'natan lam le-torato baruch et Hashem noten ha-torah v'chol ha-am onin amen V'acharkach korei ad sheshlim likrot, golela sefer, umvarech, baruch atah Hashem amakeinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu torat emet, v'chayei olam neta'ah betochenu, baruch atah Hashem noten ha-torah. The Rambam rules here that the opening baruch hu and the following bracha are recited while the sefer Torah is open, but the closing bracha should be said while it is rolled up. The Gemara records a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about whether the Sefer Torah should be open or rolled during the bracha. But there is no distinction made there between the bracha before the Aliyah and the one after. So where did the Rambam get his conclusion from? The Kesef Mishnah explains that the machloket in the Gemara is only about the bracha before the Aliyah, and the Rambam accepts the view of Rabbi Yehuda that the Sefer should be open. The Ole needs to see the pasuk where the Aliyah begins before making a bracha, and for him to close the sefer for the bracha and then open it again would represent a tircha de tzibura. But after the Aliyah, when the sefer must be closed anyway between Aliyot, everyone agrees that the bracha should be made with the sefer closed to avoid giving the impression that the bracha is written in the Sefer Torah. The Rambam's compromise position is accepted la halacha, and the Rama adds that the Oleh should say the opening bracha with his head at least turned to the side, again to avoid making it look like the brachot are written in the Sefer Torah. The Mishnah Berurah considers it better to close one's eyes rather than turn away from the Torah sitting directly in front of him. We summarize some details from Halachot Vav through Chet. The Oleh may only begin to read after everyone has said Amen to his bracha, and must repeat any word which he reads incorrectly. The Rama rules that we make him do this only if the mistake changes the meaning of the word, but the Shulchan Aruch concludes that if a letter is added or taken away, as opposed to a mistake in Nikud or Ta'amim, then he must repeat the word no matter what. If an Oleh cannot continue his reading until the end of the Aliyah for whatever reason, then someone replaces him, reads the entire Aliyah from the beginning, and makes the bracha at the end. One may not walk up to the Torah to be an Oleh unless he is called upon to do so, and the custom now is for the Gabbai to call up each Oleh by name in the case of Ashkenazim. It is permitted to skip psukim between Aliyot, as we do between the first and second Aliyah on a fast day, but only if this can be done very quickly, without the Tzibur having to wait for the Torah to be rolled to the new place. Halacha Tet. Kevan sheitchila korei likrot batorah, asur lesaper afilu bidvar halacha, ela hakol shotkin b'shomin u'misimin libam lemashu korei, shnemar ve'oznei chol ha'am el sefer ha'torah, v'asur latzeit min ha'tzibur b'sha'a shakorei korei, u'mutar latzeit bein ish li'ish, u'mishu osek batorah tamid v'torato umanuto, mutar lo lasok b'talmud torah b'sha'a shakorei korei batorah. The tzibur must be quiet and attentive during each aliyah, and they are not allowed to leave the room, speak, or even to learn Torah. Between aliyot, it is permitted to leave, and someone who has the status of Torato Umanuto, one who is solely devoted to Torah and has no other profession, is even allowed to learn during Kriyat HaTorah. We came across this term in Perek Vav, in reference to the special dispensation of the Torato Umanuto individual to miss tefillah in order to continue his learning. But whereas the Shulchan Aruch ruled in that case that no one nowadays has the status of Torato Umanuto, he does not say this about Kriyat HaTorah. In the Kesef Mishnah, he explains that there is a difference between the two applications of the term. The paradigm in the Gemara of someone who can miss tefillah to learn is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, whose devotion to Torah was of almost supernatural intensity. This level does not exist nowadays, but the Gemara records that even the Amora Rav Sheshet would learn during Kriyat HaTorah because of Torato Umanuto, showing that even those not on the level of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai have the right to do this. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Achronim, who are of the opinion that nowadays even great Talmidei Chachamim interrupt their learning to hear Kriyat HaTorah. Note that the details in this halacha fit very well with Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of Kriyat HaTorah as a reenactment of the divine encounter at Har Sinai. Just as at Har Sinai everyone stood up in attentive silence and were not distracted by anything else, so too during Kriyat HaTorah one must be silent, pay attention, and not be involved in other matters. Some poskim like the Rama and the Aruch HaShulchan even recommend standing during Kriyat HaTorah, like was done as Har Sinai, though not all agree, and the Rambam does not mention this. The practical conclusion that even great Talmidei Chachamim paused their learning for Kriyat HaTorah also makes sense in this understanding of Kriyat HaTorah, as this isn't a matter of setting aside learning one part of Torah in order to learn another part. Kriyat HaTorah is about hearing the word of Hashem at Har Sinai, and even the greatest Talmid Chacham must devote his attention to reliving this experience. The next couple of halachot deal with the meturgeman, who in the time of the Talmud would translate the Torah reading pasuk by pasuk into Aramaic for the benefit of the tzibur who spoke Aramaic. This too can be seen as part of the reenactment of Mamad Har Sinai, when Moshe transmitted the words of Hashem to Bnei Israel upon their request, as they feared for their lives if they continued to hear the voice of God, as recorded by the Torah in Parshat Vetchanan. But as this institution of the meturgeman doesn't exist today, except again by some communities of Yemenite origin, we'll skip the details and proceed to Halacha Yud Gimel. Aside from Kriyat HaTorah, the Mishnayot and the Gemara speak of a custom called the Haftarah, to read from Navi with a tzibur on Shabbatot, Yamim Tovim, and fast days. The source of this custom isn't recorded anywhere in Chazal, but Rishonim suggests that it originated as a substitute for Kriyat HaTorah when there was a government decree forbidding Jews from reading the Torah in public. This may have occurred during the Roman persecutions following Churban Bayit Sheni, or possibly earlier, during the Greek persecutions around the time of the story of Hanukkah. Whatever the source, the custom was maintained, and already by the time of the Mishnah, the Haftarah was said as a supplement to Kriyat HaTorah rather than a substitute for it. In Halachot Yud Gimel through Tetvav, the Rambam lists details of how this is read. The maftir, that is, the one who reads the Haftarah, must first read at least a few psukim from the Torah in order to demonstrate the primacy of Torah over Navi. This is what we call the Aliyah of Maftir. The Haftarah is only begun after the Sefer Torah is rolled up. It should be at least 21 psukim in general, corresponding to the minimal amount of psukim in Torah reading on Shabbat, 7 aliyot times 3 psukim per aliyah. Though it can be shorter if the topic or story begins and ends in a smaller number of psukim. One can skip in the middle of the Haftarah, but only within one Sefer of Navi. This is indeed done in many Haftarot. And all 12 books of Treasar are together considered one book of Navi for this purpose. So, for example, the Haftarah of Shabbat Shuvah skips from Hosea to Yoel to Micha, three of the Nevi'im in Treasar. There is one bracha recited before the Haftarah and four recited after it, which the Rambam lists in Halakha Tetvav. The Rambam rules that on Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, we mention Rosh Chodesh in the last bracha following the Haftarah, but the Shulchan Aruch rules against this, and the custom follows the Shulchan Aruch. Halakha Tet Zayin. Kama heim hakorim. B'Shabbat b'Shacharit korim shiva, uv'yom ha-kippurim shisha, uv'yamim tovim chamisha. Ein pochatin miminyan ze, aval mosifin, b'rashei chodashim uv'cholo shel moed korin arba'a. B'Shabbat uv'yom ha-kippurim b'mincha, uv'shini uv'chamishi, shebechol shavua, uv'chanukah uv'purim b'Shacharit, uv'imei ha-taniyot b'Shacharit uv'mincha, korin shlosha. Ein pochatin miminyan ze, v'ein mosifin alav. The number of aliyot on each day of Torah reading depends on the sanctity of the day. As we saw in Halacha Aleph, Ezra established that there be three aliyot on Monday and Thursday, and the same holds for other days which have no kedusha, like Chanukah, Purim, and fast days. On Shabbat Mincha, we also have only three aliyot, because this was often said close to the end of the day, and we want to ensure that the Amidah of Mincha is said before sundown. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed have a Kiddusha which manifests itself in the Korban Musaf, and so we add a fourth Aliyah. All of these are workdays, and so no Aliyot can be added beyond the required three or four in order not to delay people from getting to work. Yom Tov has a higher Kiddusha, which is manifest in its Isur Malacha, and so it has five Aliyot. Yom Kippur has the added stringency of carrying the punishment of karet for one who violates it, and so it has six aliyot. Shabbat has the highest kedusha, as evidenced by the capital punishment of skila for the mechalel Shabbat, and so it has seven aliyot. The Rambam holds that aliyot may be added on all of these last types of days, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbat, as they are not work days, and the Shulchan Aruch accepts this. But Ashkenazim follow the Rama, who concludes that the only times we may add aliyot are on Shabbat and on Simchat Torah. Halacha Yud Zayin. Isha lo tikra batzibur mipnei kvod hatzibur. Katan hayodeh likrot v'yodeh lemim evarchin, ole miminyan hakorim. וכן המפטיר עולה מן המניין, שהרי קרה בתורה. ואם יפסיק שליח ציבור בקדיש בין משלים ובין המפטיר, אינו עולה. ציבור שלא היה בהם יודע לקרות אלא אחד, עולה וקורא ויורד ויושב, וחוזר וקורא שנייה ושלישית, עד שיגמור מניין הקוראים של אותו היום. There are four parts to this halacha. First, a woman may not get an aliyah, as this represents a lack of kavod ha-tzibur. How does a woman getting an aliyah violate kavod ha-tzibur? The most prevalent explanation in Rishonim, which finds support among Achronim as well, is based on the fact that women are exempt from the mitzvah of learning Torah, in which men are obligated. Since men are obligated to learn Torah, they should in general take precedence over women in reading from the Torah for the tzibur. Thus, when a woman receives an aliyah, this implicitly suggests that no man in the tzibur is proficient enough in reading the Torah to have received it in her place, and therefore a woman had to be called up. This implication reflects poorly on the tzibur, and so a woman may not receive an aliyah in order to protect kvod ha-tzibur. For a fuller discussion of the concept of kvod ha-tzibur and of women and Torah reading in general, the listener is referred to deracheha.org, a website devoted entirely to the topic of women and mitzvot. The second part of this halacha is that a child below the age of bar mitzvah may receive an aliyah. This interesting psak shows that kriyat ha-Torah is not an individual obligation, like, say, reading the Megillah on Purim, as a child who is not obligated in mitzvot cannot perform a mitzvah on behalf of an adult who is obligated. Rather, Kriyat HaTorah is a purely communal obligation. The Rush says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that the person reading the Torah is required only lehashmia la'am, to make the reading audible to the people so they can hear it, and even a child is able to do so. This opinion, again, supports the understanding of Kriyat HaTorah advanced by Rav Soloveitchik. Since the essence of the Takana is for the community to hear Torah as a reenactment of Ma'amad Har Sinai, not to recite the words, it stands to reason that the person reading can even be a child, as he is not doing anything on someone else's behalf, but merely participating in a communal endeavor. However, many Achronim dispute this conclusion of the Rambam, either out of concern that Kriyat HaTorah may indeed be an individual obligation, so a child can't be motzi an adult, or perhaps, like in the case of women, having a child read rather than an adult is a violation of Kvod HaTzibur, because it implies that no adult male present was able to read properly. The Mishnah Berurah rules that a child can receive no aliyah but maftir, as this aliyah repeats psukim which were already read by a different oleh. In the third part of this halacha, the Rambam says that the maftir aliyah can count as one of the requisite number of aliyot on Shabbat or Yom Tov that we read in Halacha Tetzayin, unless Kaddish was said right before maftir, in which case it doesn't count toward that number. The Shulchan Aruch rules that our practice is indeed to say Kaddish before maftir, and therefore maftir does not count as one of the 5 or 6 or 7 aliyot, depending on the day. The only time this is not the case is at Mincha Nefes day, where the maftir counts as one of the 3 required aliyot. Finally, the Rambam brings here the case of a tzibur in which only one person knows how to read from the Torah. In this case, this one person gets every aliyah. Is this true even nowadays, when a Baal Kori reads on behalf of the Ole? According to the Shulchan Aruch, yes, because even when there is a Baal Kori, the Ole is required to read along quietly. But the Rama rules that even someone incapable of reading along can receive an aliyah when there is a Baal Kori, and therefore in this case of only one person who can read, other people from the Tzibur can receive aliyot as well. Halacha Yudchet. B'chol kriya me'elu, kohen kore rishon, v'acharav levi, v'acharav Yisrael, u'minhag pashutu hayom sh'afilu kohen am ha'aretz kodem likrot lifnei chacham gadol mi'Yisrael. A kohen receives the first aliyah, a levi the second, and all the other of the required number of aliyot go to Yisraelim, that is, those who aren't kohanim or levim. Aliyot added beyond the minimal number can go to anyone, kohen, levi, or Yisrael. Though this division of the aliyot is taken today as axiomatic, the conclusion of the Gemara in Gittin is that a Kohen gets the first aliyah only if there is no one there who is a greater Talmud Chacham than he is. For this reason, the Gemara in Megillah says that Rav would always get the first aliyah, even though he was not a Kohen, as he was always the greatest Talmud Chacham present. The Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayot on Masechet Gittin wonders how it is that the common custom is at odds with the Gemara in this matter. But here in Halacha Yudchet, he concedes that we observe this custom. Even a Kohen Am HaAretz takes precedence over a Chacham Gadol who is a Yisrael. The Tosfot Yom Tov in Gittin explains that nowadays, people have a more exaggerated sense of their own wisdom. And so it would cause friction and machloket to tell a Kohen that he can't get an aliyah because someone else is more of a chacham than him. Rather, we fall back on the purely objective criterion of Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael in order to avoid machloket. Halacha Yutet. Ein sham kohen ole Yisrael velo yalech harav Levi klal. Ein sham Levi kohen shekrav rishon chozer hu atzmo v'korei pam shnia bimkom Levi. Aval lo yikra harav kohen acher shema yomru harishon pasul ufichach ala kohen acher. V'chein lo yikra Levi achar Levi shema yomru echad mishnehem pasul. If there is no Kohen, then a Yisrael gets the first Aliyah. And many understand the Rambam to mean that even a Yisrael may get the Aliyah, but certainly a Levi can as well. This is the Psak of the Rama. In any event, all Aliyot after the first definitely go to Yisraelim. If there is a Kohen, but no Levi, then the second Aliyah goes to a Kohen, as all Kohanim are also from Shevet Levi, and it must be the same Kohen who received the first Aliyah. If a different Kohen were to receive the second Aliyah, someone is liable to think that some problem was discovered in the lineage of the first Kohen, and therefore another Kohen was called up in his place. Most of the rest of the perek details the exact procedure of Torah reading within the tefillah routine of a weekday, of Shabbat morning, and a mincha of a Shabbat or a fast day. The psakim of the Rambam follow familiar practice, so we'll end by learning the second to last halacha of the perek, halacha kaf gimel. Ein korin b'chumashin b'vatei knesiot mishum kvod ha'tzibur, ve'en golin sefer Torah b'tzibur, shelo yatriach aleihem liotan omdin ad shi'igalel. Lefichach im tzarchu likrot shnei inyanim, motzi'in shtei torot. V'lo yikra ish echad inyan echad b'shtei ha'torot, shema yomru sefer rishon pagum haya, lefichach kara b'sheni. Recall that the term chumash here refers not to a printed chumash, but to a written scroll containing just one chumash and not the entire Sefer Torah. To read from a chumash should be minimally acceptable, but it may not be done, again for reasons of kvod ha'tzibur. Like in the matter of a woman receiving an aliyah, it reflects poorly upon the tzibur that they did not put in the effort or come up with the money to purchase a full Sefer Torah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat HaTorah in the best possible way. Whenever the tzibur is required to read from two different parts of the Torah, and we'll see several examples of this in the next perek, we take two Sifrei Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, rather than make the tzibur wait while a sefer is rolled from one part of the Torah to another. The same person may not get an aliyah in both Sfarim, as this makes it look as if the second sefer was taken out because a problem was discovered with the first, and therefore the person needed to redo his aliyah. We'll pick up tomorrow with the rules of what exactly we read from the Torah throughout the calendar year in Perek Yud-Gimel.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.